Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. I am super excited to have all of our listeners tuning in from all across the world wide web. Oh, my goodness. You know how we do things. We have a wonderful, wonderful show lined up for you today. We are featuring a spotlight on three brothers. I'm telling you, they are doing big things. We're going to be talking to Isaac Simpson. You know him, Isaac Simpson, and Divine Providence, DP we call it. He is in our artist spotlight. He's got a new project that's coming out, The Process. It'll be available in stores and everywhere February. Yes. We'll be talking to him. Then in our second segment, we are going to talk to Aaron Campbell. He is the author of Eyes That Seen Plenty. And I'm telling you what, this gripping memoir, you want to hear about it. Dr. Cornel West is quoted as saying, the powerful voice of Aaron Campbell is needed in our difficult times. Don't miss this poignant memoir. All right, and then we're going to wrap up the show talking to one of my friends, my buddies, Vincent Ellis White. He has a brand new book out called Finding Chris, My Father. He is Style Weekly's top 40 under 40. He's the author of The Fully Seasoned Man's Recipe for Relationships. So he's usually talking about relationships, but he's flipped the script on us and going to let us peer a little bit into his life. So we're excited to have Vincent. So listen, we are glad to have you. My first guest is hanging out in the virtual green room, and we're going to bring him on. We thank you for tuning in from Twitter, from Facebook, from iTunes, from Zoom, from all across the world wide web. Big shout out to our listeners that are hanging out on the phone lines. We see you and we say welcome. Those that listen from Charvette.com and, of course, Blog Talk Radio, holding us down. We're glad to have you. All right, so we're moving into our first segment. Again, my guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. He's a songwriter, a vocalist, producer, again, the visionary behind Divine Providence. We call it DP. He is a three-time Gospel Music Academy Award winner. Just recently back from overseas, an overseas tour of Italy and Switzerland, and he is ready. Hot off the press is coming up in February. His second CD entitled The Process is going to be released to the nations. But I'm telling you, it is from triumph, from trauma to triumph. He has a dynamic testimony he's going to share. And there's a video on his website and all of that. And so we are excited to bring to the mic. We're going to the virtual green room right now. And we're excited to have Isaac Simpson on the line. Welcome to the show, Isaac.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We're glad to have you.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Charvette. This is a wonderful opportunity to be able to talk with you and to share with your listening audience who I am as an artist. So this is a great, great opportunity. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. We've been tweeting you up all day, and so we're just glad to promote you. And you know what? I got to tell you, the first time I heard about you was I heard a song called He Loves Me that was featured Nikki Ross, and that was with you, and I was like, oh, my God, who is this? So I have been checking you out all the – I think that's like 2 years old, 3 years old,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, the song actually came out in 2007, so yeah, it's a little bit over 2 years old, so – that was a wonderful
okay.
CD.
Great. Well, that's when I heard about it.
You know, Nikki Ross just tore it up, tore it to pieces, so yes.
Oh, yes. And there are like 10,000 hits on that on YouTube and all that. So anyway, listeners, he has some history. He's not a fly by night. And you are just fresh back from the Stella Awards. Y'all ministered at the EMI Showcase?
Yes, we did. We ministered we was at the Urban Soul Cafe. We were there at the Pre-Stell Awards show, along with a lot of wonderful artists such as Rance Allen, Kim Burrell, and you name it, Fred Hammond. They were all there. So we ministered at the pre-show, and then I had an opportunity to present at the Pre-Stell Awards for Best Female Vocalist and Male Vocalist. So that was a wonderful opportunity with my girl, Prashia Hilliard.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, cool. And we just featured Prashia on the show 3 weeks ago. So cool. So we'll be able to see. Well, do you know if you are on the taping that's going to be shown?
I'm not going to be on the taping, no. I didn't get a chance to do anything and perform, you know, unless the cameraman came by and got me in the audience,
okay.
You know. But
well, we'll be looking for you. We'll be looking for you.
Camera time, a little extra free publicity.
I understand.
You know, so I thought I was the only one to have that secret, so I know I'm revealing it just a little bit.
Yes, thank you. All right, so please share. I looked at the YouTube video that's on your website, and listeners, you can go to isaacsimpson.com, and you'll be able to connect with him everywhere from there. But on there, you share a little bit about what's something that took place in your life, and I would love for you to maybe give us the Cliff Note version of what you talk about in that video. I think it's an awesome testimony.
Absolutely. Ms. Mitchell, I really went through, this is not too long ago, where I was in a situation where I was a victim of violence, and God really spared my life and taught me a tremendous lesson and experienced a tremendous lesson through this whole thing. I was shot by gunpoint when I was driving in my car, and I heard bullets falling all around me, and I was shot by a .22. If you don't know, 22, it doesn't go right through you like most bullets will, but it just ricochets, or ricocheted through all of my major intestines. And God gave me enough strength to drive myself to the nearest hospital. When I got to the nearest hospital, of course, it was a children's hospital, and they was not able to help me because they was only mandated by law to, you know, help those who were 18 and under. So they transported me to an adult hospital. And when I got there, it was 10 different operations that was performed on my body. And
wow.
Not only that, when I came out of it, I was on life support for at least 3 days, not able to breathe on my own, and having to breathe by a machine, and my left lungs collapsed. And, you know, I had fluid through my lungs, and I had pneumonia, and, you know, I had a blood transfusion.
Goodness.
Just by that one bullet, you know, they took part of my spleen. They took my spleen out and part of my pancreas. Had to learn to walk all over again. I was in bad shape, you know. And I, you know, many people think that, you know, I didn't understand, because bullets and Isaac just didn't go together. Because I was raised in church. I was the type of person to say, hey, I was born right there on the pew.
Right.
You know, I wasn't doing anything I wasn't supposed to do. I was just, you know, helping a young man and drop him off, and come to find out that, you know, I was being set up to have money to pay for, you know, something that I had no idea I was getting myself involved in. And so, you know, many Christians think that they're exempt. You know, we think of this, you know, Christian life of a safe haven, a safe place. But, you know, people don't understand that we're not exempt from anything that can happen. We can be walking through a bank, and God knows, you know, the bank can be getting robbed, and we can be caught up in a situation. But God's grace and mercy, of course, is always there to carry us, and has seen me the whole way through. And I asked God a question. I said, why did this happen to me? I'm faithful in church. I pay my tithes and everything. And God said, son, the reason why I'm taking you through this situation is because I can trust you with tragedy. I'm taking you through this process because I can trust you with tragedy, and I'm qualifying you to some proof that I want you to go. So that right there set the world to me that God loves me that much, that he's willing to take me through something that's that traumatic and, you know, traumatizing to not only my mental, but to my body and to my spiritual man, that God was able to make me stronger through that. So I can actually say, you know, tests and trials come to really, really make you strong, and God taught me a life lesson through that. And through there, a song was birthed entitled The Process, and that's why I entitled this album entitled The Process.
Wow. And listeners, you can hear, oh my goodness, and The Process, we're going to let you all hear that in just a few. But how did you even have the strength? Like, at what point did you decide, okay, I've got to get back at the game, I've got to get back into music? Like, how did you have enough strength to get yourself back together again?
Oh, wow. Well, you know what, I actually, that's a good question. I had to go through what I went through, you know, but you never steer away from God when he brings you through something like that. You know, it's just like God gets the glory. He shows himself strong in your life, and you just like, God, you know I couldn't have made it through it by myself, but you spared my life from something that the doctors looked at my chart and flipped it and said, hey, you're lucky, because we see young men, African-American men coming through here and didn't make it. And I looked at them back and I said, no, lucky. I'm blessed. So I knew I had to continue to get back on the saddle and do what I needed to do. But it was through God's strength and his mercy that allowed me to get back in the studio, allowed me to write. Because, you know, that's where all these songs came from. It came from personal experiences. You know, and sometimes I was used to write from other people's experience. But, you know, I was the kind of person, you don't know God. You know, I used to know my mother's God and my dad's God, but I now know God for myself. I know him to be a healer for myself and a deliverer for myself. So that right there, you know, rocked my world. And I said, you know, there's no other place I'd rather be but in the safety of God. And so that's where I want to stay. And that's why I'm writing music and producing albums.
Right. It is going to be out in February, so we know that there is anointing on this project. I mean, people can relate to things that other people have gone through, so I'm sure it's relatable, and that's what attracts people, and that's what draws people. So big shout out there. You were able to keep going, and you listened, and you didn't get resentful and say, you know what, this God thing, he didn't look out for me, and you didn't take that approach. You took the right approach. So big shout out.
And I'm not going to be very spiritual about none of it, because trust me, I've had my times when I was laying on that bed, and, you know, those tubes were all through me, and I was all swollen. I questioned God. I was mad at God. I didn't understand at that time while I was going through, and we got to curse God. God, why did you do this to me, you know? But God has a way. I'm just telling you, he's a good God. He has a way of getting your attention and has a way of making you feel like you're worth more than what you're worth, and what you're going through is going to pay off, and you just see him show itself stronger what you're going through. So, you know, I wasn't all spiritual, but I came out okay because I kept my faith and trust in him.
Yeah, and that's what I want to highlight is how you came out. How you came out.
Yes.
You came out okay. Yes, and he does have a way of getting our attention. Mandisa has a song called God is Speaking. And, you know, what if God is speaking and maybe he's just trying to get our attention? Oh, my goodness, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we are in our artist spotlight with Isaac Simpson and DP. You got to get the new project that's coming up in February, The Process. Tell us, Isaac, what are the other songs that are on the project that are featured?
Oh, man. Well, I have another song entitled Hide in Me. This song was really stemmed from reading the scripture. It was Psalms 91 that says, he that dwelleth in the place of the Most High shall abide in the shadows of the Almighty. And many times we go through our processes and go through life that we just want to just hide and just have God just cover us. And from all of our troubles and be held by him. And so the song pretty much says you can hide in me, which means in the bosom of God. You know, it's one thing when you're sick and you're going through and you have a mother or somebody, you know, wise that you can go to that you can just lay in their arms, or even whether it's your husband or your wife or whatever, you can lay in their arms and feel safe. But my God, it's the safest place to be is when you hide in God. So we have a song called Hide in Me. We have a song that says he made a way, which is sung by my friend Lowell Pye from Minnesander.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and also a song called Already Made a Way, which means praising. It's a song that talks about praising God in advance, before you even see the work being done, which is also sung by evangelist Lillian Lloyd, who sings One More Chance with Ricky Dillard and New Generation.
Yes. Oh, wow. So you've got some awesome, awesome stuff. And so tell our listeners when and how will they be able to purchase The Process?
Absolutely. Let me say this. Listeners, you got to go out there February the 7th to a store near you, wherever you buy good gospel music, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, you know, your local mom and pop stores, and go and purchase the album. You can also go to our website, which is www.isaacsimpson.com. Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, if you read your Bible, you know how to spell it. Simpson, last name. And then go to my Twitter and tweet me at @IsaacSimpson_DP. DP is the name of the group, which stands for Divine Providence. And tweet me and Facebook me. You know, it's all under my name, and I promise you're going to be blessed of the Lord. Tweet me, y'all. Tweet me. Let me know what's going on.
I love it. Now, that's a promo right there. That's a promo right there. Artists, take note. And if you are following me on Twitter, you can easily connect with him. Of course, twitter.com/Charvette. And, of course, on Facebook, you have a Facebook fan page as well, right?
Yes, I do, which is Isaac Simpson and DP.
Wonderful. So, listeners, you can always connect with him. And, of course, the main website, isaacsimpson.com, will connect you to all of the social networking sites. So keep that there. All right. So we are going to let our listeners hear the process. And I'm telling you what, my last question for you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. What continues to motivate Isaac?
What continues to motivate Isaac is knowing that I'm living my life just to live again, knowing that God has my life under control and that no matter what I'm going through, that he loves me that much, and that's what keeps me going, the love of God that's on the inside of me.
All right. Well said, well said. Thank you so much for stopping by the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Absolutely. And thank you, Charvette Mitchell. I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, listeners, don't go anywhere. We're going to let you hear The Process by Isaac Simpson.
Many times we go through life circumstances and we question God and ask him why. I'm here to encourage you. Listen, I know you feel.
I know you feel that you can make it.
Listen to these words. I know you feel.
I know you feel like what to you.
The use of holding on.
I'm holding on to something
that feels so far away. But let me remind
you
that he is here.
He cares.
And he cares. Don't give up.
Don't give up now. You've come too far to turn around.
Keep holding.
Keep holding on to what
God promised you.
And believe it is in his word.
It doesn't even matter where you've been.
No matter where you've been.
Or what you've done.
No matter.
He's already forgiven
you.
And he will restore you.
Restore.
Just hold your head up and be encouraged and go.
Go
through the process.
Oh,
come on, son, lift your hands and praise him right there. And look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror and see your purpose.
See your purpose.
Feel
in your heart. Right now, I know it may look bad right now, but God is restoring you right now. He's giving you back your joy. He's giving you back your peace. Don't give up now.
Young man that's out in the street.
All right, listeners, The Process by Isaac Simpson. It's going to be available February 7th. Get it, get it, get it. Go to his main website, isaacsimpson.com. Big shout out to him for the project. Of course, connect with him on Twitter, Facebook, all those good places where you know where to connect. And, of course, if you're not following us, you need to follow us. What are you doing? That's right. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. And, of course, connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. And you can connect with all of our guests from there because I either tag them in posts or all that good stuff. All right, listen, I want to give some shout-outs to recent listeners. Of course, you know we do our city shout-out every show. So big shout-out to listeners from Seattle, Washington. How you doing? Of course, Richmond, Virginia, holding it down for us. Tifton, Georgia. Hey there. Chester, Virginia. Glad to have you. Forest Hills, New York. Hey, how you doing? Oh, my goodness. California, Fort Washington, Maryland, Canada. Hey, Canada, we're glad to have you. Newport News, Virginia. Lake Mary, Florida. Hey, Lake Mary. Biloxi, Mississippi. We're glad to have you. And Mountain View, California, just to name a few. Big shout out to all of our listeners tuning in from all across the world, wide web. We're glad to have you here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And listen, today's show is all about the brothers. So we started the top of the hour out talking to Isaac Simpson. Definitely check him out. And we're going into our second segment with an author spotlight. Aaron Campbell, he has a new book, gripping memoir out, Eyes That Seen Plenty. He is hanging out in the virtual studio right now. I'm going to the mic and bringing Mr. Aaron Campbell to the mic. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Charvette. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Doing good, doing good. Thanks for having
me. We're glad to have you, and we want to hear about you and just an opportunity to introduce you to our listeners. We've been tweeting you up and Facebooking you and all that good stuff, so we are glad to have you here on the show. And let's talk about your book. Oh, my goodness. Eyes That Seen Plenty. And I want to start off by saying that you are the founder and senior pastor of Antioch of Calvary Chapel and an author, so we're glad to have you here. A memoir, that's very transparent. Was it hard to write? How did you decide to even start writing your own memoir?
Well, I have to say, you know, it says in the Bible that the Lord directs a man's steps. All I can say is I just had a burden to tell my story, had a burden just to let people know what the Lord had done in my life. I knew just from my younger years just that I had seen so much, and I was wondering, why am I seeing all of this? Why am I going through all of this? Then once I gave my life to the Lord and understood what it means to give your life back and to tell your story, your testimony, I knew that it was time to write the story.
Wow. And it's quoted that Dr. Cornel West said, the powerful voice of Aaron Campbell is needed in our difficult times. Don't miss this poignant memoir. So what a great, great endorsement there. How did you get connected with him?
Cornel and I share a common close friend, which just rendered us friends. And I pitched it to him, and he fell in love with it and put his endorsement on it. And I just give him special thanks for that.
All right, great. I love the title. The title is so you kind of know, okay, ooh, it makes you kind of peek up and say, okay, I want to know what those eyes saw and what happened. So that's really cool there. So you vividly, in your book, you vividly describe the hip-hop culture as you were growing up. How do you think that influenced you and how it influences urban youth in general?
Hip-hop culture. Well, I was around at the beginning of hip-hop. Hip-hop was my everything. That was my meat and mashed potatoes, you know, just as it was for many urban youth, especially those in the North Jersey, New York area. I'm from North Jersey originally. And, I mean, it really, like I say in the book, what hip-hop was for us, for Generation Xers in the early 80s, it was very much the I Am Somebody movement for us, just as the civil rights was, you know, for, you know, our parents, you know, in a prior generation.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that it really takes a Generation Xer to really explain what hip-hop meant to us, you know, and what it did for us. It was more than just music, more than spike belts and leather pants, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of us connect with the movie, or, well, the quote in the movie, when did you fall in love with hip-hop? So, you know, kind of making know that it was so much more than just music.
definitely in the story, you know, in my book, I get into just the origin of hip hop and then even get into the advent of crack and how when crack came on the streets, how it changed everything right away, hip hop and urban culture at that. And then how even the music and the culture became much more aggressive. You know, self became exalted very much so. The germs, the seed plot of what's been called black-on-black crime, you know, escalated. And, you know, the music changed. The music reflects the culture. But then, the culture, you know, works back on the music. It kind of is like this cycle. And I get into a lot of that. And in the book, it's very much, it's a search for manhood. It's a search for meaning. It's a search for happiness. And hip-hop is kind of like the soundtrack, just like a movie has a soundtrack. This coming-of-age story, this search of mine, which anyone can relate to, whether they're from the urban or from the suburbs, it's hip-hop is kind of the soundtrack. There's songs quoted throughout it, lyrics quoted throughout, you know. So I just pray that it's a blessing for people who read it.
Awesome, awesome. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we are talking about Eyes That Seen Plenty with author Aaron Campbell. Excited to have you all joining us that are tuning in. We see you all on the chat line, phone lines and all that good stuff, so welcome. All right, so what were some of your early childhood challenges that spawned kind of this search of identity that you just referenced?
Okay. Well, I grew up in basically two diametrically opposed worlds. I went to one of the most prestigious prep schools in that part of New Jersey, and then came home at night to, you know, single parent urban living, you know, what we called the quiet storm, you know, the storm that brewed that no one would know about, the struggle, if you will. And living in two different worlds, you know, basically, I mean, I could be on a given weekend, be in mansions in some part of New Jersey, my classmates having Ferraris in the driveways. Then I could come home the next day as a latchkey kid while my mom worked all the way in New York City, you know, just to see my back door, you know, shredded with an axe. Our house had been robbed so many times. I mean, we lost track. It wasn't even a big deal to find out we'd been robbed, you know. So basically, living in these two different worlds gave me two different notions of what it meant to be a man. You know, my family, I had a very supportive family, even a very accomplished family. My family and my prep schooling had instilled in me that being a man was, you know, being successful, academic prowess, being able to call your own shots, being, you know, making your power moves. And then on the streets, it had given me the notion that, look, you can have all of that. But if you're a chump, you're still a chump. If you're a punk, you're still a punk. So I wanted to be a man in both worlds, and I felt that I had to in order to be somebody. So at 18 years old, I made a decision that would change my life forever. I got into the University of Pennsylvania, so I'm the first one in my family to go to an Ivy League university. But I also made a decision to take a job as a janitor at the Port Authority bus terminal on West 42nd Street in Manhattan. And I'm talking before Giuliani, you know, made it into like the Disney World kind of thing it is today. I mean, back when it was called 40 Deuce, when the Port Authority bus terminal was the most dangerous public building in all five boroughs. And I took a job as a janitor working the night shift there. So now begins this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde life where I'm doing the Ivy League thing. I'm a pre-med student, but all summer and any time I could get away from school, I'm running with loan sharks, and basically had become adopted into a crime family on the worst streets of New York City. So I knew all the homeless, all the crack addicts, all the prostitutes, all the pimps, and I'm just on a search. And basically, it's kind of like King Solomon, you know, he set out to find out what's the meaning of life. So he dove headfirst into everything there was. And in much the same way, that's what I did. I dove headfirst into academia. I dove headfirst into seeking success, dove headfirst into sinful pleasure, dove headfirst into crime and drugs and alcohol. And then finally, King Solomon had reached the top, quote unquote, of these things. And he said, it's vanity. It's all vanity. And so in just a number of years, you know, I'm now, you know, I've achieved popularity. I've achieved my crew. I've achieved this manhood thing. I'm I'm a thug. You know, I'm loving what I'm doing. I got a pocket full of money. I got a 4-foot python wrapped around my neck. You know, I got a blunt in my mouth. And I got, you know, doing rounds in the hospital with a, you know, well-known doctor and doing my research, heading for med school. You know, there wasn't pretty much any pleasure I hadn't tasted. You know, if I wanted it, I went after it. But it all left me so empty. So at 21, 22...
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. At 21, 22 years old, it's like, what is all this about, you know? But at that point,
okay,
I was
stop
hooked.
Right here. Let me stop right here. This is a movie. This is a movie. I see a movie playing out in front of me. Okay. I just had to get that out. I see a movie, but keep going. Wait a minute. How did you keep the two worlds? Like, I can't even think. Going to an I Believe college, and then you're a thug, you got, you know, all that. How did you even, like, in your brain keep them separated?
I think at a young age, I was accustomed to living this dual life, so it wasn't like a split personality thing. It's just if you,
right.
You know, you ever see, you know, I got a close friend that's from Chile, you know, he's raising his kid here in America, but his son can switch between English and Spanish in his sleep. Well, in the same way, I grew up in these two different worlds. I didn't enter into it at 18 where people can deal with the culture shock. I grew up knowing this, you know, by 5 or 6 years old. So it was very natural to do this. But what was unnatural was, you know, these tsunami waves that are coming in now, these tsunami waves of restlessness, these tsunami waves of mental, you know, turmoil. My childhood best friends are now all locked up for selling crack. You know, I'm addicted to crime, you know, very much like, you know, sticky fingers from Onyx, you know, whatever I touch, I take. I was a kleptomaniac.
Right.
I was a blunthead. I loved drinking, you know. And I'm running with loan sharks. And, you know, we're all in love with one another. We became a family. But I'm still, you know, loving the notions and the great values I was raised with as a kid. But it's all vanity. Because I was looking for Jesus. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know, that's what was going down. It was a search for the arms of the Lord, but I was looking for it on the horizontal. You know, girls and pleasure and all of that, you know, you let your mind run with that, and it was all, when I hit the equal sign, it all equaled vanity. Then at 22 years old, I didn't care anymore. I was getting very risky, very reckless. I just did not care. And it was just at that time that the Lord stepped in and my uncle just delivered the gospel to me. And I saw the way his life was changed. And then he introduced me to Jesus, you know, not to church culture, you know, hypocrisy in the church, not to all the things, you know, that if you study humans, you're going to always find human fingerprints. He just introduced me to Jesus and to the Word of God. And when I heard that, when I heard the gospel that the Lord loved me, knew me since I was a youth, he knew me before I was born, and wept with me and was there with me all through my life, and that he wanted me to be his and wanted to wash all my sins away, that was it. And
I tell you,
the moment I gave my life to the Lord, it was resurrection. I mean, the shackles were broken. Drug habit gone, alcoholism gone, kleptomania, crime gone, and, you know, I started giving away everything that I had acquired through crime. I'm just giving away, you know, $300 Gore-Tex pants, giving away stereo equipment, anything that I had stolen. It was so sweet just to be free.
Free,
but not
yes.
just free, but to be his and to understand that he had a plan for my life. And I learned that manhood is walking with him. The Bible came and gave me the answers of what is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is knowing God. You know, what is manhood? Manhood is submitting to God and walking with him in intimacy and fellowship, you know. You know, what is happiness? You know, God is joy. You know, it's the joy of the Lord. And he was the answer for it all. And, you know, I had gone through many different belief systems as well. So not only am I in the streets of New York, not only am I in the Ivy League hallways, But in my back pocket, I was trying to, I realized when that master plan wasn't working and I was tasting all that vanity, I began searching through all different belief systems even. So even the book chronicles all of this, and then it takes on this, while it's in the dark streets of New York City and while it's in the hallways of the academic world, it's also going through this philosophical journey, as I'm saying, what is the meaning of life? What is origin? What is morality? What is destiny? And it just ends in the arms of the Lord. And it's just a story that anyone can relate to. Because I'm walking through so many different worlds, the rich can relate to it, the suburban knight can relate to it, the urban, the one locked up right now, and the one up in the penthouse, you know, on the Lower East Side can relate to it. You know, everyone will find their life in this story because I go through so many different worlds. And as, you know, we're all from Adam and Eve. We're all from the same cut. So we all know each other. We all understand those same feelings. And then it'll just show that the Lord is it's his arms. It's his arms, you know, and that's the answer. He's the answer.
He is the answer. Oh, my goodness. Listeners, Eyes That Seen Plenty by Aaron Campbell. How can people purchase your book?
Awesome. They can go to the website, which is eyesthatseenplenty.com. All Facebook and Twitter links are right there. There's a great video trailer that was made. Special shout out to Shot by Esso for doing that for me. There's a great video there. And then they will see links that will go right to Kindle, go right to paperback through Amazon. Everything is right on the book's website, eyesthatseenplenty.com. All one word, no spaces.
All right, all one word, no spaces. Well, I'm telling you what, I see a movie. We're going to get the book first, and we're going to wait on. Have you thought about, has anyone said to you, you know, this could be a movie, a play, or something, anything in that vein yet?
Many people are saying that. Many people are saying that. So we're just we're just excited, and you know, we're just you know, taking it one day at a time. But we're definitely we're just super excited, and I want to take this time now to just shout out my amazing wife and my awesome three kids. I could not have done this project without them, so special shout out to them.
Big shout out to the family. Matter of fact, listeners, I think y'all need to give them a round of applause. Big shout out to your family. Big shout out there. Oh my goodness! And so now you are a pastor, and you have a strong outreach ministry. How do you reach those that are in the streets? How do you reach anyone? What is your approach?
You know, love. You know, how do you spell love?
Yeah.
You spell love, not L-O-V-E, but you spell it S-A-C-R-I-F-I-C-E, sacrifice. So it's just being willing to be a doormat for anybody that they could walk on you to get to the Lord, you know, and to get to his love. So we do fish fries on street corners. We do basketball tournaments in the projects in Philadelphia. Anything that comes to mind, and if it looks like love, we're going to do it, you know. So we'll set up fish fryers right outside of West Philly High School and chess tables, and when the droves of kids bust out the doors, we're feeding them seasoned crab legs, fried fish. We got chess tables. They're sitting down playing chess. And you know, the Bible says love never fails. So we're involved in prison ministry. We do ministry on the college campuses. It's a privilege, you know. It is a privilege to be able to do this. We also do a lot of work in Angoon, Alaska. We do missions work with the Tlingit tribe in Angoon, Alaska, and do extensive work in Haiti as well. I was in Haiti 1 month right after the earthquake, walking through the streets of Port-au-Prince, sleeping on the streets, and God opened many doors there. So now I do extensive work there as well. So. And it's just,
wonderful.
All I can say is it is a privilege. You know, everything we get
it
to do is
a privilege.
Talking to you is a privilege, you know. So thank you again for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I count it an honor. And if you don't have love, I mean, you can do all these great things. If you don't have love, you know, you're doing it in vain. You're doing it in vain. So big shout out to your church, Antioch of Calvary Chapel. What's the web address for your church?
It's antiochphilly.org. So that's antiochphilly.org.
All right, listeners, Eyes That Seen Plenty. Again, go to www.eyesthatseenplenty.com. Aaron Campbell, Pastor Aaron Campbell, no disrespect at all. You can find him on Twitter. You can find him on Facebook, all that good stuff. If you're following me on Twitter, I've been tweeting all day, and on Facebook, we've tagged on Facebook, so easy way to connect there. Pick up Eyes That Seen Plenty. Again, eyesthatseenplenty.com is there. My last question for you. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. What continues to motivate you?
To motivate me is, I'd have to say it's the Lord, and it's his people. Seeing his people, you know, doing his assignment for them in every different arena, you know, even what you're doing, you know. So all of the above is what encourages me and motivates me. I'm looking in my kids' eyes every morning, my wife's eyes, all the above, you know. So.
Wonderful. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for stopping by the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we certainly wish you much more continued success. And when you do have the movie, just make sure I'm one of the interviewers on the red carpet. That's all I have to say.
For sure. But we will stay in touch. So, Charvette, thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. All right, listeners, you don't want to go anywhere. We're going into our third segment with my boy, Vincent Ellis White. He is a author. He was rated top 40, under 40 by Style Weekly. He is a relationship expert, but he's taken a turn with his new book called Finding Chris, My Father, talking about his pursuit for finding his biological father. You don't want to go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Are you a gospel singer or in a gospel group? If so, the American Stroke Association wants you to enter the Most Powerful Voices competition. Simply upload a video or MP3 by January 27th to power.watchgmctv.com. Then get your friends and family to vote for you. Former Destiny's Child singer Michelle Williams and an industry leader from Light Records will judge the top 10. Win fabulous prizes and receive important stroke information. Visit power.watchgmctv.com.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, listeners, welcome back. Oh, my goodness, that last segment, Aaron Campbell, Eyes That Seen Plenty. I'm telling you, I see a movie there, so definitely support him. Of course, we started the top of the hour out with our artist spotlight, Isaac Simpson and DP. Check him out. Now, we are rolling into our third segment. This gentleman, I'm telling you, Vincent Ellis White, he is a good guy. Let me just say that I personally know him. I co-host with him on his internet radio show, The Men Confess. You all know that's like one of the most popular popular segments that we have, and he's the voice that you hear that's leading the discussions, that's giving the advice on relationships and all that. He's just a good guy, and I was super excited that he had a new book coming out, and I was like, okay, we got to do a whole segment by yourself talking about your brand new book, and he is in the virtual studio, and I'm bringing him to the mic right now. Welcome to the show, Vincent Ellis White. What's going on?
Charvette, how you doing, honey?
I'm doing good. What is shaking in your world on today?
Oh man, it's been a day today. Let me tell you that. But I'm so glad to finally get off because I could not wait to be on the Charvette Mitchell Show and talk about this new personal memoir of mine. I couldn't wait. So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? We've been tweeting you up all day. So, listeners, if you've been following me on Twitter, you've been seeing the post. And certainly we are glad to have you and talk about your new, brand new book, Finding Chris, My Father. Again, he has authored The Fully Seasoned Man's Relationship Recipe. So you've heard about that. But this story is really an epic story about you, your perseverance to find your biological father, and really your quest towards adulthood and internal struggles and all that good stuff. So it kind of ties in line a little bit with our last guest on that same type of journey. So again, this is a shift for you because you're used to talking about relationships and all that good stuff. How hard or how easy was it to write this type of book?
Let me tell you, if I was writing about an imaginary tale or fiction or somebody else's story, it might have been hard. But, I mean, this book is very easy to write because this is 100%, you know, nonfiction. This really happened to me. It's a memoir. It's an amazing story, but the story is so crazy that you think I made it up, but it really happened. And there's people out here that were with me every step of the way when it happened. So the book was very easy. I started penning the book in about 2008, and I finished up around 2010. And even though it was 2 years, the book is very easy. I just started adding pieces here and there over the course of 2 to 3 years. But the book is very easy to write because it's something that really happened to me. So all I'm doing is recalling events and recollecting events. So it's very easy to write the book, Finding Chris, My Father.
Great. So tell our listeners like a little bit about your background and walk us through the impacts that you felt or you see for growing up without either having your biological father there all the time or not knowing them or all of that. What were some of the impacts?
Okay. Without giving away the main piece of the book, just to tell you, regards to me growing up, I grew up, and it discussed this in the beginning of the book and throughout certain parts of the book. I grew up with mainly three women that helped raise me, my mother, my grandmother, and my aunt. And I had a grandfather that was a very strong structure in my life up until age of 13, but he was a lot older, so he wasn't able to do the things that a normal father would, like teach me how to ride a bike and, you know, teach me how to fight properly and all those things a father would do, a younger father would do. So I grew up with those females in my life, and I love them to death, and they're still by my side to this day, except my aunt. She passed in 2004. But growing up, it really outlines it in the book, Finding Chris, My Father, because I grew up with someone that I thought was my father, and I definitely knew him, was named after him and everything, but he was in and out of jail constantly. But I was a very young child, so I didn't know that he was in jail. You know, sometimes parents will, like, shield certain things from you as a kid,
right,
and then later on you find out as an adult what they really were. So that happened to me. So I thought that the times I went to go visit him, I thought that it was a school. And it didn't, you know, you think jail, you think prison bars and all this stuff, but I never saw any bars. Like, I saw park benches and a bunch of people playing sports and fencing and stuff like that. So, I mean, it didn't look like a jail from a kid's eyes. And he was in and out. Like, sometimes he was home, sometimes he was in prison, et cetera. So it impacted my life later on. And I say that because as a kid, I knew he wasn't there, but it wasn't a big deal to me because I had so much love around me, my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, my grandfather, all my friends. Like, I know people that struggled their whole life with the father not being there, but I didn't, you know, unconsciously I did, but in front of me I didn't struggle. And as I got older, in my teenage years is when I started really recognizing what was going on, and I started acting out. I started being confused and, you know, dealing with some abandonment, some rebellion. And what happened is, like I said, I don't want to give away the story, but what happened is I found out during my teenage years that the person that I thought my entire, you know, life up until that teenage point was my father, I found that he wasn't. So when I found that he wasn't, most people, when they find out something like that, they also find out the other half, which is who is my father. And then you go find him and all that stuff. But all I got was that he's not. And I didn't have any information on who my biological father was besides a name. And I had to carry that one name, which I knew was true because my mother told me the name, and I had to float through life just knowing that, okay, this man that I've loved and known and loved as my father for 16 years, now all of a sudden, at the snap of a finger, not my father. And furthermore, I have one name, and I just got to roll through life with this one name, and then I go through college and everything. And then if you pick up the book, Finding Chris, My Father, you'll see the things that I went through in my childhood when I found out that he was not my father, when I go through college, and then my process that I went through to search for my biological father and, you know, what I went through ultimately resulted in me finding him.
Wow. So that is a lot. That is a lot. And I'm telling you, I know the book has the chunks and the details, so because Vincent knows how to tell enough to entice you to get the book, but there's still some juicy points in the book, listeners, so you definitely want to get it. So you have had the opportunity to counsel and, you know, you are a mentor for other young men and all of that. Do you ever, how has it helped you in that area, you know, just with your quest?
It really has because when I was an undergrad at Norfolk State, I got my degree in mass communications, wanted to deal with radio and TV and everything, moved to New York and all that stuff. When I finished that, and that didn't really work out for me, I just started working regular customer service jobs, and I always had like a part-time as a mentor because I had the gift of gab. I was able to, you know, talk. I was just talking with the teams. But I didn't have like a super passion for it. It was developing, but I didn't have it. And then I went and got my master's in education with counseling in mind. So I started leaning towards counseling young kids. Then I started doing I still was doing mentors. I was gathering, soaking up the experience. Then started doing counseling, got my degree in counseling. I became a life skills coach, and I started working with kids constantly. And I just started, that's when my passion really came. It hit me out of the blue, and it made me mad because I wish I had it before I would have got my undergrad degree and, you know, something related to that. But that's how life happens. And I started really just taking to young kids. I worked with kids, and as always, you know, kids that have problematic backgrounds. I worked with kids in elementary school. I worked with middle school. I currently work with young adults age 17 to 21, and I've also worked with adults in a real jail as a corrections officer. I've done all those things where I'm helping people. Usually I'm helping younger people. Usually I'm talking to them. And my story about finding my father just comes out sometimes. Like if I have a kid that's saying, "You don't know my struggle. I don't know my parents. I didn't know this," and I say, and they just think you don't know. So when I hit them with the weight, let me tell you my story and how I found my father at the age of 27, and I'm 31 now. Their jaw hits the floor every time, and they want to hear it. And when they hear it, they're like, "Okay, so he can relate." I may not have been in the group homes and stuff like that, but I can relate to that feeling because it's something that will haunt you for the rest of your life if you don't, you know, get a handle on that situation. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or a man or a young adult, it will bother you to the day you die if you don't, you know, get a grip on the situation. It's a serious thing for young men out here not knowing their fathers.
Wow. Listeners, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we are in our author spotlight with Vincent E. White, and he is talking about Finding Chris, My Father. Oh, my goodness, I'm telling you what, it's vivid. It talks about identity crisis. It talks about questions, growing up with bullies and fragmented family and all of that and all of those impacts. What do you think, for society's sake, what are the impacts on society as a whole when there are missing fathers in families?
Man, statistically, I used to have the stats with me because I used to talk about it on my show a lot, but statistically, it's the numbers of negative things, the negative impacts are staggering. Males that grew up without fathers, they according to statistics, of course, there's always exceptions, but they go into a life of crime early, as well as they're in and out of jail. They make less income. They're prone to have children out of wedlock. They may be in blended families or fragmented families. You know, they may overcompensate in other areas. Like, for example, I want to prove I'm a man because I didn't have my father, so let me do some things out here to prove I'm a man in their eyes,
right.
And they're doing things like that. So these are a lot of things statistically that stand out for young males that grew up without a father. Now, young females that grew up without a father, I mean, I think a lot of people already know a lot of those negativities that come with it, but statistically, I mean, you can do the research. Statistically, it shows that a lot of young females will practice in promiscuity for lack of having that fatherly discipline in their home. They tend to date older males because the older male will have that fatherly figure, and they inadvertently date older males, don't even understand why they're dating them. Like I said, promiscuity. They also have children out of wedlock, have multiple kids. And if you notice that young females and males both tend to go to that common denominator of promiscuity, you know, having kids at a young age. So if you have kids at a young age, you don't really know how to be a father or a mother like you would if you gain a little bit more life experience. I mean, these things have an effect, not just short-term by the things I talked about earlier that I dealt with, which was rebellion, you know, identity crisis, you know, and things like that. But that's short term. And it can be long term, too. But the long term effects are, you know, you're having kids out of wedlock and then you're blending families and then you're struggling, still trying to show the world and show yourself you're a man or you're a woman. And if you're a woman and you've dealt with promiscuity, you may be dealing with the effects of that later on in life.
Yeah.
And so my message to these people out here is that, you know, I dealt with a situation where I didn't know my father and the information was withheld from me. So first of all, I would say I understand that situations happen. I mean, there's all kinds of situations that can happen. And I can even understand why you may have an initial feeling of I don't want to tell this child that this is not his father, this is his father. But at the end of the day, if you really, really, really care about your child's well-being, you need to stand up as a woman or man and parent/parent and tell your child who the father is. If you have a way of getting them to their father, make it happen, as well as tell the father the same thing, tell the father who their child is. And I understand it may cause a whole cloud of drama after you do that, but that is your obligation to do that, as well as the book is also for fathers to step up, because when I found my biological father, I talk about it in my book, Finding Chris, My Father, where he stepped up. Because he didn't know about me either. I don't want people to think that I had some deadbeat sitting out there. My biological father did not know about me, just like I didn't know about him. So at age 27, when I met him, he met me. And he could have easily walked away, because it's not like I could, you know, take him to court for back child support or something like that. He could have walked away, and he would only have to deal with his conscience, and that would have been it. But he could have walked away scot-free, but he stepped in and do his thing. So it also shows that there are still some men out here that will really be men and step up to, you know, take care of their business. So it also should prick the fathers that are out there that may be dealing with something like this to step up. You know what I mean?
And you know what? I think this would be great for mothers who, you know, are in this situation, and if the father is not in the household, and they have sons, you know, to get it and she read it and pass it to him and all of that. Did you ever have a fear that, okay, I'm going in pursuit, you know, to find my father. What if he rejects me? What if he doesn't believe me? What if he doesn't want anything to do with me? What if he's like, that's not a part of my... Did you have any and all of that going through your head?
I sure did. I think everybody that seeks a parent out, a biological parent out, deals with that. I don't think you can avoid that. It's no way. There, from what I understand in talking to people, there's two things you think about. The first thing is what you said, would they accept me, would they reject me, everything like that. The second thing is what is their image? Like, what do they, like, who are they in life? For example, a lot of people that talk to you after bringing this book out told me that they had a fear that they would meet their father or they would meet their mother and the mother would be like a bum or a prostitute, or the father would be like a low life according to society.
Right.
And they had a fear of that. And that makes my story even more interesting and blessed because it's blessed anyway because I found a biological father, but it's more blessed because he's doing very, very, very well for himself. And I don't even really stick in the book specifically what he does, but I give a roundabout description of what he does. But he's doing very well for himself. And I would have loved to meet him if he was a janitor somewhere, just because I didn't think I'd ever find him, first of all.
Right.
But the fact that he's doing well for himself, it conquers both of those anxieties. The first one being, will he reject me? He didn't reject me. And then secondly, will he be like, a bum or something like that? He's not that either.
Right.
So I was thankful to God that I was able to conquer both of those anxieties because I definitely had them. And you know what's crazy is, like, when this book came out, a lot of people came out of the woodwork saying, hey, that's crazy that you wrote a book like this and you dealt with this because I dealt with this. And then they go into their story, and it's people that I've known for a long time and never knew that they dealt with not knowing their father or their mother. It's people at church and friends, people on a job. And they come up to me telling me they found their father at age 47. They found their mother at age 30 and 15 and 20.
Wow.
And it, so this book is like, it's bringing, these testimonies out of people. And, they always say when you do something for God, which I feel I wrote this book for the masses, but ultimately, for God, you're supposed to give God the glory in what you do. And it's making other people tell their testimonies, which is ultimately giving God the glory because we know that it's only God that brings these people back into our lives, So I like the ultimate result that I get, which is giving God the glory by touching all these people with a book like Finding Chris, My Father.
What, Finding Chris, My Father, written by Vincent E. White. Vincent, tell our listeners how they can purchase Finding Chris, My Father.
Check it out, everybody. You can purchase my book, Finding Chris, My Father, by Vincent Ellis White. It's on my personal website, which is www.lifeloveReligion.com. Once again, that's www.lifeloveReligion.com. Also, the book is on Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com. So it's on all the major sites. You can definitely get it from those if you have an account with Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can go to my website and get it from there, and it will be shipped to you ASAP. Very good. It's very worthwhile. Not that costly. It's a good read. It's under 200 pages. Everybody that has purchased Finding Chris, My Father, has written me on my website or text me or called me and said, hey, I knocked the book out right away because I couldn't put it down. It was amazing.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. So, Vincent, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back. And when we come back, I want you to talk, because you are a relationship expert. I see you in the eyesight. And I say that, listeners, because he's very truthful and very forthcoming with how men think, how they act, how they react in relationships. And so what I want to talk about is when we come back from the break, so I can give you a few minutes to think about it because I'm throwing this on the cuff on you. In relationships, how a woman, what are cues or signs that a woman is potentially having difficulties in her relationship because the gentleman didn't have that father figure, or doesn't know who their father is, so that she won't internalize that and think, well, I could do this better, I could do this more, I could do that, but know to say, these are cues or these are things that are going to show, that are showing up in your personal relationship potentially because he didn't have a father figure or his relationship with his father is not doing well. So that's what we're going to tackle after this commercial break. All right, listeners, don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All right.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Are you a gospel singer or in a gospel group? If so, the American Stroke Association wants you to enter the Most Powerful Voices competition. Simply upload a video or MP3 by January 27th to power.watchgmctv.com. Then get your friends and family to vote for you. Former Destiny's Child singer Michelle Williams and an industry leader from Light Records will judge the top 10. Win fabulous prizes and receive important stroke information. Visit power.watchgmctv.com.
Things going a little rough today? Look for the silver lining. Think about this. Each day you drink clean water and breathe clean air thanks to USDA's Conservation Reserve Program. For 25 years, CRP has reduced soil erosion and stopped toxic runoff from entering into our waterways. CRP removes carbon dioxide and cleans the environment. Fresh water, clean air, stop taking it for granted, CRP. It's your silver lining.
This message was brought to you by USDA's Farm Service Agency.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answer no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, listeners, welcome back. Welcome back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. This is your lovely, stunning host, Diva Charvette. And we're in our third segment here talking with Vincent Ellis White, the author of this new book, Finding Chris, My Father. Follow him on Twitter. It's Life Love RVA on Twitter. Of course, if you follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. I've been tweeting him all day, so it'll be easy to connect there. All right, so Vincent, back to our topic. All right, we're going to tie in relationships with this missing father, fatherlessness. Let's help the ladies out with their relationships and how they can identify that maybe some of the things they're dealing with has to do with a missing or absent father in the gentleman's life, either when he was growing up or even currently.
Okay. You know, and your question was a good one, tying relationships and maybe looking for red flags or things that stand out from guys. It's tricky when guys grow up without their fathers, ladies. There's some signs there that you may can tell he grew up without his father. He may have had a stepfather he didn't like, or he may have had some confusing issues he was dealing with growing up. I can give you some personal testimonies. Growing up without my father, I was naturally rebellious. I felt like I had to show and prove that I was a man because somebody could say, hey, his father's not there to show him these things about being a man, so what does he know about being a man? So I had to prove I was a man. Now, here's the thing, ladies, to tie it into your relationships with a man. Charvette, here's a good segue. If you pick up my book, The Fully Seasoned Man's Relationship Recipe, it talks about how men – like to try to prove their man by, you know, having conquest, and, you know, we try to conquer women and say, I've had this number of women, I've gotten this type of women, mm-hmm. So I'm a man because I've done that. Well, that same thing happens now. So, ladies, if you see that you have a ladies' man and he's flaunting how many ladies he has or how he gets the ladies, or he's overcompensating in certain areas, or he's trying to constantly tell you, I'm a man because XYZ, I guarantee you can look at his relationship with his father, or does he have one? You can also look at how he treats his mother. Another example to look at a man that may have grown up without a father in his life is he probably is like I guess, I mean, he doesn't have to be a mama's boy, but sometimes they're a mama's boy.
Right.
But either way, they're mama's boy or not, they may love hard on their mother, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm just letting you know.
Right.
That, they'll be, I mean, me and my mom are, like, so tight, it's crazy. Like, and it's been like that forever, because if that's all you have as a parent,
right,
and your mom is forced to be mom and dad, you're going to naturally be tied into her and be extra tight with her. So when you, most men don't play with their mom anyway. You can't talk about her like that. But the man that grew up mm-hmm. with just her, you definitely can't play with his mom. You can't say nothing bad about his mom. These are things to look out for. A man is like extra, you know, overprotective of his mom. That's probably all that he had. He may
yeah.
be constantly trying to prove he's a man. He may be very rebellious. He may be into the streets because, you know, if you don't have a father there to put that discipline, that smackdown that they normally do, that fear they put in their son,
uh-huh.
a son's usually not that afraid of their moms like that, so they go to the streets because there wasn't a father there to stop them. I guarantee you, ladies, if you found a man out in the street or a male protective of his mother, rebellious, or he's a big-time player and everybody knows it, I guarantee you the root of that is that there was no father there, or he is not attached to a father figure that put that discipline down early in his adolescence or, you know, or younger years. I guarantee
mm-hmm.
you that that's a direct sign right there. And it
oh,
affects
right.
the relationship. Yeah, it affects
yes.
the relationship big time because, you know, you may not treat the woman right. All kinds of things can happen. I won't even get into that, but, I mean, it'll be signs that he did not grow up with the father, and it'll start spilling out on you if you're not able to spot those early. And ladies, don't just leave the man. If he is dealing with those things, talk with him about it and help him.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to help him through the scenario if you feel like you got a good man there.
All right, that's good. That's good. So we're not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater, but just awareness, just heightened awareness about what you may be dealing with. And so I want to highlight that you are a father now. You're a dad.
Yes.
How did your growing up and subsequently, you know, finding your father and all of that, what was your outlook on becoming a dad, and how do you make things work as a father?
That's why I love you, Charvette. You asked the right question because I forgot that. I forgot. What I forgot is that you were talking about things that men may do because they didn't have a father in their lives, and
mm-hmm.
I was telling the listeners about statistics. Also, statistically, men that grow up without a father tend to follow in their father's footsteps, and they end up not being there for their child. So that's statistically, as we know, statistics aren't always correct, but statistically,
right.
The men are not in their father's lives as well. They may say, I'm going to do better than my father, et cetera, but they end up not being their father's lives. So when I say I forgot about that, I forgot about that statistic. But I am the exception, and I strived my entire life to be
yes.
the exception to that rule. I have a 5-year-old son. Shout out to my son, Jordan White, and he is the love of my life. I mean, everybody that knows me and sees me with him, I'm out and about in the city with him all the time.
Yeah.
I put that discipline I was talking about then, I put that discipline is there. My son is scared of me, yes. and he better stay scared of me, but I love him to death. And I fought hard to be with him. I mean, that's another book, Charvette. That's another
yeah.
book. But I fought hard. And long story short, I got him, and I make sure I cherish every opportunity to have with my son. Growing up without a father, it made me do the opposite. I wasn't going to be a statistic and not be in my son's life. I said I'm going to do better. And I don't. People
right.
that know me, I don't just say I'm going to do it, but I do it. I said I'm going to do better. I said I'm going to get my son. I'm going to be with him. Even if I'm with the mother or not, that should not affect anything. That should make me fight harder, if anything. And
right.
it did, because I'm not with his mom. And I fought harder, and the relationship is great between us. My son loves me to death. I mean, everybody
Aww.
Knows that we're taking pictures all the time. And I make sure that he knows me, and he knows who daddy is, regardless of who may be in his mom's life. And he also knows his grandfather, which is my father. I had a fear when I found out I was having a son. I had a fear that
uh-huh.
he would not be know his grandfather because
oh, wow.
I didn't know my father. But, you know, the amazing day came when I first met my dad. I brought my son with me. So my dad,
oh.
my biological father, my dad met me and my son for the first time on the same day. It was a beautiful day.
Wow, what a good news story. Finding Chris, my father, oh, my goodness, and you are definitely a good dad. We can see the pictures on Facebook that you post, so yeah. We know when y'all are out or going to dinner and all that good stuff. So I wanted to highlight that and bring that point out that you didn't let what happened to you happened to your son, and that you turned it around, and you're a good example. And I think you're just a good example of a man. I mean, every time I've interacted with you, always respectful and just good, give you the truth and don't yeah. sugarcoat stuff. I appreciate yep. that. So I just want to shout you out. And this book, Finding Chris, My Father, listeners, you want to get it, you want to pick it up, lifeloverreligion.com. It's everywhere, like he mentioned earlier, sold online. You can get it on your Nook, on your Kindle, all that good stuff. Author Vincent Ellis White, again, Style Weekly, top 40, under 40. Oh, my goodness.
Charvette,
what
is
next?
Let me tell the listeners, too. I'm sorry. My book, I tell you, it's a blessing. Not only is Finding Chris, My Father, available on all the websites that Charvette listed, but also my book is already in pre-production to become a play, and I'm very excited about that. I got my people working on it now, and I'm developing everything for the play. It's tentatively scheduled for December 2012, sometime at the end of this year, last quarter. I'm going to start it out in the Hampton Roads area. I'm going to bring it to my hometown, Richmond, and depending on how many of y'all picking up this book and show your eagerness towards seeing this play, I can bring it to D.C. and anywhere else I can take it to. But it's going to turn into a play.
Based
off my book, Finding Chris, My Father. It's a very, very beautiful thing. I'm very excited about that.
Well, you know what? And you were working, like the play happened almost like, or the workings of getting the play together happened like right when you released the book. So it was like no stopping you. You was like full force ahead.
Yeah, it did. I gave a early copy of my manuscript to my people, and that's how God works, because I was just at a book signing for my previous book, The Fully Seasoned Man's Relationship Recipe, and I met these people that came to my book signing, and I just talked about Finding Chris, My Father, coming soon. And they were excited about the story, and they hit me up on the email and said, hey, can you send me a clip of the book? I sent that, and they said, do you have a manuscript? Because I do plays, da-da-da. And as they say, the rest is history. I sent the manuscript, and we locked on, and now Finding Chris, My Father will become a play. I don't know if the title's going to be the same, but it's going to be based off my book, Finding Chris, My Father. So y'all go pick it up, and then y'all support me when the play comes to your town.
That's right. That's right. And now, are you going to do any acting?
No. I'm going to sit in the last row at each of the plays with my Jordans up. Watching the play, watching the ticket sales go through, just thinking while smiling, but that's all I'm going to do. I can't act. I smile too much. I can't do the crying and all that.
Oh, my goodness. That's totally cool, because the last guest that was on, Aaron Campbell, in his book, Eyes That Seen Plenty, as he was describing it, I was like, that's a movie. So y'all got things, movies, plays, that your books transition. Good job, because everybody doesn't do that so easily. So any shout-outs you want to give, any events or anything that's coming up that you're working on or in partnership with you want to shout out?
I mean, I can't remember the names of them, but I know this is National Mentors. This is National Mentors Month. So I know on the 31st, I am doing a speaking engagement, but I don't have all the information yet. It's coming to me by the end of this week. But I would if y'all follow me on Facebook and Twitter, I would put the information on there. But I'm speaking at a event for National Mentors Month. So all my young teens, young girls and males out there. When I put the information out there, you can come see me speaking at an event, speaking about my book. I'm going to have a table set up for my book. Also, in February, I'm going to have a book signing in Virginia Beach. It's just Charvette. I'm just setting up all this stuff, so I don't have all the details. But if they follow me on Twitter, LifeLoveRVA, and Facebook, I will definitely put the information out there. Also, in March, I do have a date for this one, March 10th, at the Mulberry Inn in Newport News, I will be a featured author for my book, Finding Chris, My Father, and the previous book, The Fully Seasoned Man's Relationship Recipe. So just follow me on these social sites, and I will put all the information on there. And follow Charvette as well, because she'll repost it for me.
Yes, you're right. All right. And, of course, you'll be able to hear him on some upcoming shows,
yeah,
that we do about relationships. So he will continue to have a presence on the show. And, of course, every chance we'll get, we will plug what he's doing and what's going on, because he's just such a cool guy. And Valentine's is coming up, but I ain't even going to put you on the spot and ask you, do you have any arrangements or any? I ain't even gonna put you on the spot. I saw you've been working out at the gym, and you done dropped some more pounds. So I don't know what you're doing, but I'm gonna leave it alone.
No, man, look, I will go to that last part. I have dropped some pounds. It feels good. I've been going mega hard in the gym. I've been trying to eat right. 2012, man. I need to make sure I keep it healthy. Matter of fact, segue. Look, if you want to be a father and a mother to your children, you need to be around for your children. You need to be around to play sports and do all these things with them, because these children like to run. You need to be to run with them. So y'all need to get to the gym and get healthy and do all that. And, you know, also make you feel good. I mean, it helps you all around with your children, with your personal life, and everything. So everybody get out there and be healthy. Yes, Valentine's Day is coming up. Y'all make sure y'all take care of y'all partners, the people y'all dealing with. And make sure you give something to your children, too. Don't let them feel left out. Give something to your kids for Valentine's Day as well. Let them know you love them, too.
That's good. That's good right there. Well, I'm telling you what, Vincent, I'm glad we had a chance to feature you specifically about Finding Chris, My Father. And we just wish you much more continued success.
Thank you so much. Thank you to all the listeners out there. I truly appreciate you, Charvette. Love you. And y'all keep tuning in to Charvette, because we're going to be still co-hosting The Men Confess, and we're going to be doing it big, these relationship issues. You know me and Charvette tackle those. Y'all go out and get Finding Chris, My Father, and the fully seasoned men's relationship recipe. That's right.
That's right. You got it right there. All right. Thank you, Vincent. Goodness, listeners. All right, listeners, I think you want to hear a little bit of music right now. We have Sweet Escape by Lori Michelle. She's a new artist out of Richmond. I love the vibe of this. Lori Michelle, and it's called Sweet Escape. You can find her on CD Baby. CD Baby, Lori Michelle. Here we go, Sweet Escape. singers, Lori Michelle. I love that. Sweet Escape. Find her on CD Baby. She's also in Facebook. You can connect with her there. Oh, my goodness. We had an awesome show today. I'm telling you what. Thank you so much for hanging out, keeping it locked there with the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, bringing you phenomenal shows and wonderful guests. And, of course, today was no different. We started the top of the hour out with Isaac Simpson. Isaac Simpson and Divine Providence. You know them as DP. Check out his new project, The Process, which will be released and available in stores February 7th. I'm telling you, awesome stuff. Go to his website, www.isaacsimpson.com, and that's isaacsimpson.com. You can connect with him on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, and see the video, his video testimony about the situation he went through that pushed him from trauma to triumph. So again, check out The Process. All right, then we rolled into the second segment with Aaron Campbell. He is the founder and senior pastor of Antioch of Calvary Chapel, and he is the author of the gripping memoir, Eyes That Seen Plenty. I'm telling you, it's a movie. Mark my words. Check him out online at www.eyesthatseenplenty.com. Again, Eyes That Seen Plenty.com. Connect with him on Facebook, Twitter. Oh, and check out his wonderful book trailer. It looks like a movie trailer. You got to check it out. And then, of course, we wrapped up with my friend, my buddy, my pal, Vincent Ellis White, and his new book, Finding Chris, My Father. You got to check him out. LifeLoveReligion.com. Again, that's LifeLoveReligion.com. Purchase his book. Also, go back and get the first book, The Fully Seasoned Man's Relationship Recipe. The Fully Seasoned Man's Relationship Recipe. He's a cool cat, and I really, really like him. So you definitely want to check it out. All right, so if you are in the capital city and you're looking for something to do for Valentine's weekend, I have something for you. My church is sponsoring a Valentine's ball on Sunday, February 12th, which is right before Valentine's, 5 p.m., Sheraton South Hotel, right off of Midlothian, and you can come out singles. It's only $35. If you have a date or a boo, it's $60 for couples, and come out dressed festive. There will be music. There will be a full buffet. Just a great time in a chill atmosphere, in a grown and saved atmosphere. But it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. So you can find out more at www.njicm.com. That's New Jerusalem International Christian Ministries. And the website is the acronym. So njicm.com. You can purchase tickets. You can find out more information. Again, Sunday, February 12th, 5 p.m., the Sheraton South Valentine's Ball is sponsored by the Men's Ministry of New Jerusalem. Come out dressed festive, get you a boo or escort if you want to, if you want to save a few dollars there. But pick up your tickets, and it'll be just will be a nice event. Husbands, get your wives and bring them out. Wives, get your husbands and bring them out. Something nice to do, again, in a nice, cool atmosphere. Saved and grown, folks. All right. I think you got it. Well, I'm telling you what, this show has been wonderful. Next week, you don't want to miss next week, because we have ladies that we are going to be featuring, authors we're going to be talking to, artists, a bunch of people that we have lined up for you. If you missed any of our past shows, oh, my goodness, go to Charvette.com, and from there you can check out any of our past shows. We have a featured artist page, featured authors, relationships, featured just interviews on Charvette.com. If you know someone that needs to, you would like to see them on the show, send a request on Charvette.com. Also, shameless plug, if your church needs a website, if you need a website, if you have a friend that's starting to write a book, a friend that's starting a new business and they need a website, I'm telling you, a website is not a luxury. It's a necessity in 2012. And check us out. We can provide web design services for you. Yeah, child. Yep, just go to www.mitchell-productions.com, mitchell-productions.com. You can also link to it from charvette.com. There's links there for web design services. And we offer referral fees. So if you know somebody that needs a website, you refer them, and they purchase one of our packages, you get cash money, honey. So let me know if you want more questions about that, we're just excited that you joined us here today. And this is going to wrap up another edition of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Again, we're excited that you joined us, and we're excited about what is happening in 2012. Have a phenomenal day and a phenomenal week. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you've been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Catch Charvette Mitchell every Tuesday at 6 p.m. interviewing all the stars you want to hear from. So until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. This is the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.